3-0, entity of 212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Scrambled eggs.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the Talking Sound Podcast, the only podcast on the internet where negative 10 is a number to be desired. Coming at you live from the throbbing heart of rock and roll that is Austin, Texas, I am Chris Jordan, your host, and today from Houston, Texas, we are so very, very glad to have in studio the Scrambled Eggs, everybody. We have Chris, Liz, and Ben over here. How are you guys doing today?
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Very well.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourselves, guys. What are y'all all about?
We are about long walks on the beach. Anything, you know.
Candlelight dinners.
Okay.
Ryan Gosling films. And occasionally we play some music. But, you know, on those occasional music days is really where we kind of bring out the best in each other. And we're doing kind of a mixture of punk rock and bluegrass and a little of the old rockabilly and ragtime flavors.
Absolutely.
You know, trying to rekindle some of those old traditions.
And we actually just came in with a song of y'all's called Heartache and Wine. What brought that song about?
That one kind of just came to me. It was actually when we first met Liz. I had the little riff, and we're just kind of sitting upstairs where we play, and I figured it out, and I said, hey, let's try this, and she came out with that violin, or the viola part, and the rest was history.
Fantastic.
Came up with some words later that evening.
And that was a great song. We actually had the opportunity last night to go see these guys at the Hole in the Wall here in Austin, a very famous local place over on the drag by UT. And they had a great audience response. I mean, there were two bands there. The first band was all right. They had some sound issues, things like that. But most of that was hammered out by you guys whenever you got up on stage. And it was, I mean, the crowd was just utterly responsive to y'all. It was really great to see.
I think so, yeah. We were definitely well received. It was a lot of fun. Thank you, Hole in the Wall.
That's great, right.
Yeah.
And now, how long have you guys been together? How long have y'all been an act?
This trio is coming up on a year now, but myself and Ben, we go back a handful of years now playing music together, you know, and like a lot of people, it just started off as Sunday picking,
yeah,
sitting around, you know, coming up with songs, and we're not going to do that, and we're going to do this, and but it always came back to the roots music for us, you know, the acoustic sounds that we were hearing, everything from, you know, Taj Mahal to Doc Watson, and Chet Atkins type stuff.
When I first heard him play dobro at the Ashford Pub at an open mic over in Houston, back at the old one, yeah. And I saw him play dobro, and I went to his friends like, "I'm in his band now." I kind of forced my way in.
Ben's a big presence, so there was not much fighting back against that.
Yeah, we gingers can be a little intimidating with our enthusiasm sometimes. My wife was just laughing about that last night as she was watching an edit render out for an episode. She was like, "Wow, you are really into what you're talking about with that microphone, aren't you?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm talking about microphones. Come on. This is my thing." So tell us a little bit about yourself, Liz. How did you come into the project?
I guess from Facebook, actually. It's where we know each other sort of from the climbing gym, like rock climbing in Houston, but they put out like a Facebook call specifically for a violist. And, like, normally I wouldn't answer something like that, but, you know, people don't usually talk about viola much. So I was like, so I might play viola.
It was specifically looking for viola, and about 10 minutes later, she's like, oh, I play.
Well, and it's interesting. My nephew has recently, in the last year, taken up viola at school, and I purchased him one, and I was very happy. He told me that he wants to take up guitar, and I was like, let's learn a little bit more on the viola first.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's definitely one of those, kind of like whenever my first instrument was bass, and people are like, oh, why didn't you choose guitar? I was like, because my three friends had guitars. Somebody had to have a bass to be able to jam.
They always need more violas.
More violas in the world.
That's right. And it's really an interesting range that the viola brings to y'all's sound. Yeah. Why specifically did you choose viola as opposed to the typical fiddle?
Honestly, it was just kind of a chance. You know, I put that post out there. Mm-hmm. It might have even been a typo, actually. I don't know. Yeah. But I put viola.
Ten minutes later, we've got Liz.
And as soon as I tried her out on one song in the first 10 seconds, I knew that's, you know, oftentimes with music, you feel like you've got a direction you want to go, but you hear it another way, then it hits you, and that's it. And that's how it was with the tone, you know. And we do have a little fiddle she plays around on, too, get that higher pitch stuff. But, you know, that viola tone, she brings it.
Because we all play kind of mid-register instruments.
Well, and even Ben actually plays the squeeze box as well. And I was very, very happy to see that it was a Cajun style concertina, not an actual keyed accordion.
Right.
So, what brought you about to that choice of instruments?
I found it cleaning out my dad's house.
Nice. That's exactly how an instrument should come into not only possession but into your thought form.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, ooh, look at that. Yeah. That looks
usually
like
you find old guitar strings. Like,
He found an accordion. Yeah. Well, did your dad play?
No, it was a gift to him. He never got around to playing it. And I honestly can only play three songs on it so far.
Well, you did pretty good on it last night.
Thank you very much.
That was actually a fantastic job. Yeah. So,
and you taught me how to point the reeds in the correct direction towards the microphone.
That's right. It's a little trick. There's a grill, and as long as you put the microphone right there, it'll always be nice and bright sounding.
That's priceless knowledge. Thank you.
It is. So y'all were just telling me about your amazing weekend of gigs. Like, y'all have literally, like, the cups of coffee are here not only because, well, we're hospitable, but y'all needed some coffee, man. Yeah, tell us about your last few days of gigs. It has been a whirlwind through Texas.
It has. It started Friday night. Ben was jamming and thumping away on the bass, actually, with another really great group out of Houston called Chris Johnson and the Imports.
Okay.
And Ben's been affiliated with them for a number of years. So he was thumping away on Friday. Liz and I were over at Avant Garden in Houston doing a little duo, kind of slide guitar, gypsy, viola style thing, a little more eclectic and kind of out there. And then we did the JP Hops House, which is a great listening room there in Westheimer and Highway 6 in Houston area.
Yep.
And then ran up here yesterday for the show at the Hole in the Wall, which was our first time in Austin, and it was awesome. It was a blast, actually.
Wow, fantastic. Fantastic. So that was y'all's first gig in Austin as a group. Yeah. I mean, I know you were saying that y'all have all spent some time here at some point, so I'm sure y'all have hit a stage or an open mic, something like that here previously. But, I mean, y'all had a fantastic, fantastic response last night.
I think so.
And what was really interesting is that you were saying that out of the hour and a half that y'all played, that y'all had just kind of started to get into your set. Yeah. And that's what I really love hearing, especially from a roots Americana style band, is, you know, like, man, we got more than a set worth of material.
Oh yeah, we can play for hours, and that's normally our routine, is to show up and play about four sets, an hour a piece, an hour and some change per each set.
That's the bar gig lifestyle, especially in West Houston.
And I've been sharing the bill thing last night. You know, we did play a little longer because the people, you know, they wanted it, and of course we're fired up to play, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, next time we come back, we'll definitely be looking to kind of expand on our catalog of music for sure and bring more of what we do.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And you know, it's interesting you were saying that coming from Houston, that I'm from Houston myself, and there is a slight difference. You know, here you have a lot of bands.
Yep.
You don't have a lot of bands that can play all night. At least not original music.
Specifically original.
Yeah,
And there's some great musicians out there, no doubt.
There are.
No matter what they're doing, but you're right. You know, I think particularly we don't have a drummer. That's a big part of our style of playing is if you come out and hear us, you'll notice that we're really percussive, all of us, in the way we play to keep that drive and to keep that tempo going, because so many people want to hear a beat nowadays, you know, and it's that already presents kind of a challenge, you know, when you're trying to fill 4 hours.
Yep.
Because not only are we doing just the rhythms and Ben and Liz are doing their solo and picking, it's really got to be in a specific timing. Without that drummer, everybody's, you know, kind of relying on each other. And we spend a lot of hours practicing that, you know, but I think also there's a big natural tendency for us to just kind of play like that. All of us love percussion music. Mm-hmm. A lot, ironically, even though we don't have any percussion in our music, we love it. You know, and the banjo actually is a string percussion instrument.
It is. And last night, y'all actually, from what I understand, it was his second gig with y'all, but Michael Peck from Houston, an upright bassist. Yeah. Yep. And I used to actually play with Mike in an act, and he is a really fun guy to have on stage. He has just... The man's a wild man when it comes to just the conversations that come out. And
he's very knowledgeable, man.
And it's not just that. Like, his gregarious attitude, like, just draws people in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Like, good spirit.
The random conversations that we had with people before shows was always fantastic.
That was the Hermanos Brothers, right?
Yes, that was the Hermanos Brothers.
Very
now,
cool.
And we were one that, you know... Yeah, whenever we got together, I was like, this is going to be useless unless we have 3 hours worth of material.
Yeah.
You know, because what are we going to do? Go out and play other people's music and share a stage?
And they're going to hear your music and actually going to want more. So you got to be prepared for that
And that's just it, you know. And y'all did a really great job last night of actually peppering in some traditional mountain music, things like that, that are... And one of the songs y'all played is like 150 years old. It was great, and y'all did a fantastic job on it. I've actually recorded a few versions of that for some bluegrass people whenever I lived up in Maine, and y'all did a fantastic job
on
it.
Thank you.
So, typically, whenever y'all play, what kind of places are y'all looking at? Do y'all do more bars or?
Yeah, right now it's definitely, you know, in our stages where we're at, you know, we're getting tighter and tighter every day we're together. So we're paying our dues and going through that process of doing the bars, you know, which are typically those longer gigs. But we're playing a lot of the breweries down around Houston, you know, the craft beer things blowing up. So it goes hand in hand, you know, particularly the mountain music. Everybody wants to stomp their feet, drink beer on a Sunday afternoon and listen to some banjo playing. So
absolutely.
We get into that. And some other kind of more, you know, the music specific venues like the Hops House, Last Concert Cafe in Houston. Like I said, you know, really we're doing mostly Houston right now. But this was a great foot in the door for us last night here in Austin. I really believe we'll be back here, and hopefully we can run the gamut around town and, you know, share the love everywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And we're definitely looking to do some festivals. We played some smaller ones before, you know, but South by Southwest and those kind of things are definitely on the radar for us.
Yep.
You know, getting out there and sharing, it's what it's all about. You know, we're coming up with this music, but, you know, we've all heard it a million times, and we can sit in front of each other in our little cramped area upstairs and play all day, but that's not what we want to do. We want to go out and share it with people.
Well, and that's just it. That's just it. And I mean, you know, if you haven't looked into it, the Katy Rice Harvest Festival is actually a fantastic place. Another one over there that I'd highly recommend is No Label Brewing, right there in Katy.
Right by the rice dryer.
Exactly. Yeah, they have shows every Saturday, and I know the St. Arnold's Brewery does too, but they've gone a little bit further with it nowadays with their new facilities. So
there's also coming up in January, there's going to be a little all-day festival at Good Old Boys Barbecue.
And
we'll be playing a part of that with what I understand probably anywhere from 30 to 50 other acts.
Wow,
and
fantastic.
Most of it in the old-timey traditions, you know, whether it's string band or, you know, maybe some like 60s, 70s style country, you know, Johnny Paycheck type
stuff
you'll probably hear.
Heck yeah. Now, It's awesome that you mentioned Good Old Boys. They are one of my favorite places for crawfish there in Katy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you also have a couple of other gigs coming up. You said that one's in January also. What else do you have coming up?
So January 2nd is the Carbot gig.
Okay.
And that'll be kind of a 5 to 8 p.m. Type weekday type thing. And then we'll be at the Ashford Pub, formerly the Ashford Arms Pub, which has now moved to Westheimer and Eldridge there in Houston. And for those that don't know, the Ashford is what it's about.
So that's right. In my mind, there are two bars on the west side of Houston. It's the Ashford Pub and it's Shakespeare's Pub.
Yep, absolutely.
That's it.
You can catch great music any time of the month there. Bands like the Blackguards come through there all the time.
Yep.
And if you don't know the Blackguards,
check
out the Blackguards.
Yeah, well, and I mean, geez, I can't tell you the number of times I saw Lightning Blues Hopkins, people like that playing over at Shakespeare's on a Wednesday night, for open mic.
Just incredible.
Like, what? This guy's at open mic.
Yeah.
What's that about? Like, a little bit beyond open mic in your career at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he still showed up and still played was just fantastically amazing to me.
Shakespeare's an absolute institution in Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know blues in Houston, you know Shakespeare's.
Yeah.
You know?
Sir. Now, let's get into booking a little bit. You were saying that this is your first gig in Austin. One of the big things that we're about on this show is actually trying to get the knowledge out to everybody. And it's a hard process to get gigs outside of, your home area. How do y'all go about doing that? How do y'all go about, I don't want you to give away all your tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
Well, we utilize the obvious tools of today and this technically insane and advanced, so to speak, world. We use the Fosse book. You can check out Scrambled Eggs on Facebook. There's always updates of shows, any new material we come up with. And then, of course, ReverbNation.com/Scrambled Eggs. We have a demo that's all self-produced by us, and a friend of ours did all the recording and tracking for us.
Nice.
Mostly recorded live in just a little apartment room in Spring Branch.
Yep.
But all that's posted there on Reverb Nation. Free downloads. You can share the heck out of it. And we also post all our shows on there. So, for instance, when I call up places or, a lot of times nowadays they just give you an email link. I write a good little introduction about us and who we are. And then, I send them that way toward the Reverb Nation so they can get a taste of what we do. And, it's been a pretty good way, and again, we're still even learning those ins and outs more so than really our music. So I think, we'll just find some more ways. And of course, this is a good networking opportunity for us. I think that's a big thing, just word of mouth and, Mike, the upright player, and it's a small world. So
it
we're
is,
starting
it
to
is.
See that.
And, you know, even small world, I know the drummer from his other band, Kez.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know
if you remember Kez ever talking about a live karaoke band that he played with at any point.
Oh, Kerry, he's been playing with a lot of people.
Yeah.
That must have been one of those high dollar gigs.
Yeah. that was me and Mike and we were over in Katy.
No way.
Kez, whenever you mentioned the imports, that immediately popped into my head. I was like, I remember going to see them
world
at the
indeed.
Ashford Arms.
Yeah.
Kez, if you're listening,
that's
buddy.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, dude. Buddy.
Yep.
I miss you.
Yeah, we all miss you.
So, yeah, I mean, it is a very small world. And especially whenever y'all get into, whenever people start getting into circles like bluegrass and Americana music, it is a very close-knit community. Like, Austin's a close-knit community to begin with, and very incestuous in its bands for years, things like that. But Houston actually has a pretty hidden bluegrass scene. There are actually some really interesting places. What are some of the haunts that y'all go to find jam circles, things like that?
Well, the jam circle thing can be really hard to find, and there it is out there, but one major factor is just given how big Houston is.
Yeah.
So getting around on any given weeknight to try to make a jam that starts at 6 or 7 o'clock, you're talking about sitting in the worst traffic you've ever seen. But we meet people all the time, that's how we came about Mike and, just word of mouth through another buddy of ours who's kind of in the string band scene around Houston. So you hear names, and names get associated with faces, and of course Facebook now, people go on there and they can just send you a message without even ever meeting you formally or getting a phone number. Yep. So we meet up with people that way and jam.
The open mic scene is very cool in our neighborhood of West Houston.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
There's a lot of connections to be made there, and you meet people and they might not be your style of music, but they can adjust.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because, like y'all said, y'all actually incorporate some other parts. Like there was a song last night, and I can't remember the chorus from it, but I meant to talk to you about it last night. You were playing like a friggin' reggae line on the banjo, with these reggae rakes. And it was that's just so great.
I got asked about that two nights ago, and it's honestly, it's really just a bluegrass technique that applies itself to reggae. I mean, it's an Earl Scruggs rhythm technique, and you just use it in reggae, no problem.
Yeah, but I mean, I've worked with numerous reggae bands, and it was like, wow. That's just awesome sounding. It's great. So it's nice to see people incorporating things like, you know, rockabilly, punk, things like that, those chordal progressions, all that kind of stuff in the music.
And what's, you know, I think one thing that's lended us going down those different avenues is the banjo, kind of following the history of this instrument. It's been a part of so many different cultures in our world.
Oh, yeah.
You can virtually go to every country and there's some derivative or variation of the banjo.
Yep. And you know, it's interesting lately. I don't know why, over the last, like, few months, I have, like, discovered all this stuff about bluegrass instruments, things like that. And, like, the banjo is traditionally an African instrument. It came here from Africa. So it's like, how did we end up usurping an African instrument into Appalachian music?
Yep.
And the same thing with the kalimba, the thumb drum.
He actually plays the kalimba.
Yeah, that's incorporated in that music too. Yeah. That's an African instrument.
It's funny you mentioned that with the reggae, because there's an old predecessor type music in Jamaica called Minto music.
Yep.
And it was highly formed around the banjo and the rumba box, or what later got refined as the kalimba.
Yeah.
And it kind of takes people back when they hear the reggae stuff. But if you actually peel away at that, it's heavily rooted.
It is. You know? Absolutely. And it's very interesting once you start learning those histories and getting into it. It's
a good way to explore the music and for us to just, you know, kind of branch out and explore.
Well, and for me, it really, really reiterates, because last night, like after y'all's show, I was sitting there talking with three metalheads who were talking about y'all's style and everything else. And we started akinning, you know, what the scales and the modes and things like that with metal music kinds of stuff. And it's like, it really solidifies to me the fact that music is the international language.